Even in the lovely Cinderella story of Esther, evil rears its ugly head, just when everything's about to turn out right. King Ahasuerus has found a wife, a young woman who is beautiful inside and out. The lovely, modest orphan girl has been crowned queen. Ahasuerus is delighted. Mordecai is pleased. Esther's surprised and no doubt very grateful. The nation rejoices. But then comes an evil interlude that disrupts everything beautiful. Why should we be amazed? It happens in life, time after time after time. Not even in biblical days did people live happily ever after. Mutiny, a minor plot against the king. As is often true with evil, it surfaced ever so quietly. While the majority in the kingdom were pleased with the way things were going, a secret conspiracy was growing in the minds of two men. In those days, while Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's officials from those who guarded the door, became angry and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Esther chapter 2, verse 21. In those days. In what days? In days when the king and the people were banqueting and rejoicing, when everybody seemed so satisfied and pleased and at peace with one another. Isn't that the way it is? I mean, why couldn't these two guards have just forgiven the king? Why couldn't they have shrugged off the fact that he did something or said something that ticked them off? Why couldn't Bigthan have said to Teresh, "Hey, don't let it bother you. The guy's got a lot in his mind." Whatever it wasn't worth a conspiracy. And it certainly wasn't worth a planned assassination. But that's the way evil is. When an offense isn't checked, it grows into anger. And when anger is allowed to fester, it leads to rage and sometimes to murder. When those kinds of things poison our mind, they can make us into people bent on conspiracy. Such is the case with these two men, and before long, their anger leads to a murderous plan. But the plot became known to Mordecai, and he told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. Now when the plot was investigated and found to be so, they were both hanged on a gallows, and it was written in the book of Chronicles in the king's presence. Esther chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. In those days, under the regime of Persian rule, they didn't mess around with a lot of time in a courtroom. If a king's life was endangered, those responsible paid for it with their lives. Swiftly. So that's the end of Bigthan and Teresh and their plot, but it is not the end of evil or the consequences of what they have done. Just remember this incident. We'll encounter it again in Esther's life. Because they yielded to their evil imaginations, these two men got themselves involved in a plot that finally resulted in their own deaths. However, lest we study this section of scripture and what follows, thinking how wicked people were in the days of Persia, I want us to remember that latent within every heart are thoughts of rage and murder, as well as greed and lust and abuse, the seamy, ugly side of life. You and I have it deep within our hearts, and were it not for the power of the living God, acts of violence would be committed by every one of us, and we would finally exterminate ourselves off the face of this planet. Those two bodies impaled on the gallows were a reminder for all the people of Persia. This is evil. This is the result of evil. The scene was horrible. Made no mistake about it. Rather than being hanged by the neck on a modern-type gallows, the men were probably impaled on a stake or post. This was not an unusual method of execution in the Persian Empire. Darius, Xerxes' father, was known to have once impaled 3,000 men. A record of this assassination attempt was written in the annals, the official royal record. In ancient days, they stopped at nothing to create fear in the hearts of every citizen so all would know that crime does not pay. But even with a ghastly scene as horrible as two men impaled on public gallows, evil did not go away. Vengeance, a major scheme against the Jews. After these events, an even greater evil enters the scene. Isn't it interesting how these sections tie together with these rather innocuous phrases, after these things, so it came about, in those days, after these events? That's the way it is in life. The big events in our lives, the major turning points, don't begin with a bold, ear-splitting announcement from heaven, "Today will bring you trouble, bad trouble." No, those days begin like any other morning. You have no idea it's coming, and out of the blue it strikes. And you find yourself in the midst of this ancient struggle with sin and evil.